We are back recording at 10:12 a.m. Dr. Cornwell.
Okay, so let's move to case number 4A3, number 20-15, Connor Ung, physical therapist.
Mr. Ung, are you present?
I am.
Thank you.
And good morning to the board. My name is Tyler Schwenke. I've been retained to represent Mr. Ung for the purposes of this hearing.
Okay. All right. Welcome.
Mr. Schwenke, can you spell your last name for me, please?
It'll be S-C-H-W-E-N-K-E. And I apologize in advance if the light turns off. I'm in a room at the courthouse that is a motion censored. So if I don't move for a little bit, it'll just go dark on me. So I apologize in advance if that happens.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'll call this matter of case number 20-15, Connor Ung, physical therapist. And let's have the board staff, board members, staff, and council introduce themselves or be introduced.
Board president and professional member, Dr. Cornwell.
Here.
Public member, Mr. Greer. Public member, Mr. Greer.
I'm here.
Thank you. Professional member, Dr. Bustillo.
Here.
Public member, Mr. Clinton.
Here.
Professional member, Ms. Hunter.
Present.
Assistant Attorney General, Mr. Harris.
Present.
Investigator, Ms. Richardson. Investigator, Ms. Richardson.
Present.
Thank you. Staff member, Ms. Chepius.
Present.
Staff member, Ms. Crowley.
Present.
And staff member, Ms. Cardoza.
She's on mute.
Ms. Cardoza? Veronica, I need you to come off mute.
Sorry, school issue. Present.
Thank you. Dr. Cornwell.
Okay. Because we're recording this, I'll just go back and Mr. Ung, would you please introduce yourself again and then have your attorney introduce himself again?
My name is Connor Ung, practicing physical therapist.
And my name is Tyler Schwenke, attorney in Arizona, bar number 035522.
All right, thank you. And we'll give you an opportunity to either you or your attorney to make an opening and closing statements. The board members may have questions for you during this hearing. And if so, they will occur between you and Mr. Ung, okay? And not between you and your attorney. This interview is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. 1, issue a decree of censure. 2, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. 3, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500. 4, issue other disciplinary action. 5, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. Okay. Let's have a brief overview of the complaint.
Dr. Cornwell, you need to swear in both myself and Mr. Ong.
Okay, let's do that then. And all then those who provide testimony, okay, need to raise your right hand. And do you swear to tell the truth and whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Mr. Ung?
Yes,
I do. Summary of the complaint 2015, Mr. Connor Ong, PT. Mr. Ong was issued a provisional license on April 17, 2020, pursuant to governor's executive order. Mr. Ong was provided a letter enclosed with his provisional license, which indicated that his license would be placed in suspension 20 days following the opening of the Prometric centers. The Prometric testing centers opened on May 1st, 2020. Mr. Ong continued to practice as a physical therapist from May 24th, 2020 through June 2nd, 2020. Mr. Ong did eventually obtain his active license status after passage of the MPTE on August 27th, 2020. This is for your review.
All right. So, Mr. Ong, either you or your attorney may make an opening statement.
Good morning to the board. First of all, I think that the allegation that has been made against Mr. Ong, which is going to be under 32-2044-14, that he made misleading, deceptive, or untrue or fraudulent representations of the chapter or in the practice of the profession really needs to be kind of understood, because I think what we're going to see today and what you're going to learn from Mr. Ong is that at no point did he make misleading, deceptive, or fraudulent statements. And while he did, and he has admitted that he did practice from May 24th to June 2nd, that this is a simple case of a misunderstanding, that he believed that his provisional license was still active. And during a time of coronavirus, when the ball is consistently moving, that there was a miscommunication. And as soon as he found out that his license was no longer active, he was very proactive in how he addressed the situation. He contacted Ms. Donahue. He found out what he needed to do. He immediately stopped his practice. And he also asked if there was anything he needed to do retroactively about the notes. He's been very upfront in this matter. He's done everything that he can to try and address the situation. And you know, having spoken to Mr. Ong, I know that this situation itself, the process of having to go through a hearing, has taken a great toll on him and put a lot of stress on him in his very early practice. I think what you'll hear today is this is a case of miscommunication, and also that it's effectively a case of no harm, no foul, because even though Mr. Ong was signing notes from May 24th to June 2nd, everything he did throughout his early practice, basically everything he did while he was on a provisional license, was all co-signed by another licensed physical therapist who had been practicing for more than 15 years. Every step along the way, he was supervised, and everything he did was double-checked. So it's not as if he was doing this unilaterally. So after we've heard all the evidence today, and you guys have had a chance to hear the testimony of Mr. Ong and really hear about all the facts of the situation, we would ultimately ask that the case be dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm assuming, Mr. Ong, that you'd be willing to answer any questions that the board might have.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does anyone on the board have any questions?
This is Peggy Hunter. I have a question. So, Mr. Ong, you were issued a provisional license on April 17th, 2020. Is that correct?
That is correct.
It says in the investigative report that you were provided a letter explaining with your provisional license that 20 days following the opening of the Prometric testing centers, it would be placed on suspension. Did you not understand that?
I understood that. And then as I was reading through the provisions, so there's step 1, 2, and 3, I just misunderstood that portion, because when I opened up and I looked at the Prometric center, there were no tests available. So I think on the third provision on that letter, the third thing says after X amount of days after the first test is available. So I was actively checking to take the exam every day, because I was originally trying to take it in April. And then that was rescheduled due to the coronavirus concerns, and it was actually canceled. So everyone was trying to re-find a new date. And so I was actively checking every time that I would look. There was nothing available. And when they said it would open on May 1st, and I wasn't unable to find any dates for May 1st. And when I finally was able to find a date, the first date I could find was, I believe, towards the end of May. And that was the first one that I was able to take. I ended up not passing it on that date that I took on May 27th, which is why I ended up passing it and having to take it and was licensed eventually August 17th.
So having read that letter and then checking to see when the exam would be offered to you, did you ever call staff and say, I'm having difficulty with this, can you explain anything to me?
I did not contact staff in that regard of the letter. I contacted people about asking if Prometric, seeing when things would open, but with along with Prometric, and if you ask any other student that was trying to take the board at that time, communication was very poor, back and forth between Prometric to the board, to the students, and it was, I believe it just a misunderstanding on my end, but then just communication-wise, I think communication due to the coronavirus was just very confusing for everyone all that was involved.
I understand it was very difficult, but it's pretty plain saying that your provisional license indicate that his license would be placed in suspension 20 days following the opening of Prometric Testing Center. It seemed like you just assumed that since nothing was going to be offered, that you could just keep practicing.
Then I apologize for that. I was assuming, you were right, I did assume that the it would go on to the next step of the or until after when the first date that the tests are offered. And that was the first date that I could find, so I assumed it would be after that date.
All right, thank you, sir.
this is Dr. Cornwell. I'd like you to help me clarify. Your attorney said that all your notes were co-signed by a licensed physical therapist. Were the charges, the treatments that were offered, were they under that person's license, or was it under your license?
Sorry, could you repeat that one more time? There's other dogs, I think, barking at you. Get cut out for me.
Okay, I'm sorry. your notes were co-signed by a physical therapist. Were
correct.
The charges billed under that therapist's license or under your temporary license?
I believe they're billed under her license.
Okay, so did you feel like you were at that point you were working as an assistive personnel type person rather than a licensed physical therapist, or what was your attitude at that point?
In that time frame when I was when the provisional license was reprimanded and taken away, or the time, just that whole time period in total?
Well, mostly from the time that it ended. So it was like what, May 24th
until that time. That
So May 24th through June 2nd.
Yeah. So in that time, I was working. I felt like I was doing things on my own, but I was still being supervised by my boss, and she was making sure that I was still doing things right because we wanted to make sure that. Yeah, because it's provisional license, we just wanted to make sure that nothing else was going. It's kind of not a probationary period, but it was more of just like introduction and a ramp-up period is kind of what I was taking it as until I got the official license and I passed the exam. That was what kind of the goal of what we were trying to do was.
So since the charges were put under that licensed there, the one that was doing the co-signing, there's no need for you to notify patients and payers that you were not licensed.
Okay.
Right? So, all right. So, thank you very much for that clarification. Any other questions?
With all due respect, do we know that as a fact? That they were not billed under Mr. Ong and another therapist. Is there evidence of that?
It's most likely that Mr. Ong wasn't credentialed yet, just given the time frame from his provisional license and his work. I don't know that verification. I don't know that for sure, but generally that is why somebody is co-signing.
That's what I was
all right,
told initially. You. As to why we were co-signing was because I was not, I still had to wait a little bit for that credentialing.
Mr. Ong, did you perform initial evals, re-evals, and discharges during that time?
I did with the supervision.
Okay.
When you met with a patient, did you introduce yourself as a licensed physical therapist, or how did you introduce yourself?
I'd say that I was a PT that had the provisional license.
Right. And a provisional license, board members of the board, is an active, fully functional license.
Okay. All right. What other questions might board members have?
When you were signing your daily notes, did you sign it as PT? And I'm just concerned with the period of time, May 24th.
I signed them as Connor Ong, PT, or whatever was on that license, LPT provisional license. I had provisional license on that and had my number on that for anything that I signed. And then below that would be my boss's signature as well. But I had the provisional license on all my notes that I wrote down with the provisional license number that I was given.
Right. So you did PT, comma, and then your license number.
Yeah, that was given on the provisional license, which is actually the same number that I have now.
Right, because it's your active license.
Okay, then yes. But I always had the provisional PT license on that.
Okay, thank you.
Are you continuing to work at the same facility that you were at that time?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All right, if there are no further questions, then let me, I'll give them either he or his attorney an opportunity to make a closing statement.
Before we do the closing statement, can I ask Connor some questions to get some additional information out for the board?
I don't know that I've ever been asked that. Mr. Harris, is that okay?
It is in the board's discretion.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Connor, one of the sections on the letter that you received, the full section related to the suspended for 20 days after in-person testing center reopens. I've got the letter in front of me. It goes on to read, or the examinations otherwise become available, including an electronic or remote format, unless the applicant passes the required examination prior to license suspension. What did you understand that portion of the letter to mean?
I took that part as after whenever I could find my first exam, that would be the date as that would be the baseline and the starting point for that suspension. And so when I took that first exam, or when I found my first date that I could take the exam, that was the date that I was going off of, because as I was checking daily, that was the first one that I could find. I got it, booked it, and then I never went back to look at the sites. Those were, I know they were actively changing, so there could have been another time that may have been earlier, but at that point in time when I looked and found one as I was checking daily, that was the only one available that I could find. So I took that as the starting point because that was the first one available that I found, and I believe I found it early in the morning. So that was the first day and the first time that I could find there.
And when was the earliest exam you were able to find?
The date that I took the exam, which I believe was May, towards the end of May.
Okay. Did you try and contact Prometric about exam dates and things along those lines?
I had sent them contact information page. You can send them messages, and I had sent them a message, but they were no longer contacting people at the time due to the number of people that were trying to get a hold of them. They were not opening to phone calls, and to their whole process was just very delayed in terms of getting back to us. And that can be kind of corroborated with the class I was in. I was taking Final Frontier to try and pass the exam. And with the professor in that and all the students that were in that cohort, they're all saying the same thing, you know, I can't find a date. Granted, it's all over the nation, but people were having the same issues all across the board.
When you found out about your license being suspended, how did you find out about it?
It was via email, I believe from Ms. Donahue, and then it said that it was suspended as of May 20th, or the date that it was given on that email, whatever that date was. I saw the email the next day, and then I, it said that it was suspended May 20th, but I received that email about a week and a half later. And so the following day after I received the email, that's when I saw it and talked to Ms. Dunn, who immediately asked, hey, what do I need to do? Do I need to go back and retroactively remove my name from notes? Do I need to let patients know? And I had a phone call with her, and I believe I had talked to Ms. Cardozo or another person that was part of the board and asked them what I needed to do. Eventually, Ms. Donahue returned my call and told me that I did not need to remove my name off of the notes, but I was to immediately stop practicing as a practicing PT. And so then from that point forward, that's when we talked with my boss, and we have been, or up until I passed my exam, that's when I was finally reinstated and able to start practicing as a PT again.
Where were you when you saw the email for the first time?
I was at work.
And how long between seeing the email did it take you to try and call Ms. Donahue?
I called immediately on my lunch break because I believe I saw it early in the morning before we had our lunch. And then when I had my lunch break, that's when I called because I think I had one patient that I was in the middle of treating, and then I called her.
Okay.
Is it fair to say, her email, one of those two.
Is it fair to say that you tried to get in contact her as soon as you had the opportunity?
Yes, it is.
Since then, of all the patients you saw during that 1 week period, have there been any issues with any of those patients?
There have not been. I believe all of them were eventually discharged through the other PT that I was working with.
Do you know how long your supervising physical therapist has been practicing?
Over 15 years.
And is your plan to continue working with her moving forward?
Yes, it is. I think she's been a great mentor to me, and she's helped me along the way, just kind of navigate through this process of figuring out how to move forward, and been a good mentor in terms of helping me just as a new grad.
At any point during having your provisional license, did you intend to mislead or make untrue statements to any of the patients you saw or anything along those lines?
No, I did not.
Okay. I don't have anything further for Mr. Ong.
All right. Does any other board member have any questions that they want to ask? All right, so either you or your attorney may now make a closing statement.
Thank you from the board, and thank you, Dr. Cornwall. Now, I think what we ultimately heard today is this is quite literally just a miscommunication and a mistake. We heard in the letter that it reads that absolutely 20 days after the in-person testing center reopens or examinations otherwise become available. Based on a misunderstanding, Mr. Ong took this to mean that 20 days after he is able to have access to his first exam, that his license was to become suspended. Was that a misunderstanding of the letter? Absolutely. He hasn't shied away from that. But it is a reasonable understanding. It can be seen how that may have occurred. As soon as he heard about this situation, that his licenses had been suspended, within the same day and at the first opportunity he had, he took actions to try and fix it. He went as far as trying to find out whether he needed to take any steps regarding the patients that he had seen, if there was any way he needed to correct his actions and what he should do going forward. I think what we've seen from Mr. Ong is that he's been very upfront through this whole process and done everything he can to do what's right. Even during the time period that he was acting under his provisional license, we heard that he wasn't acting unilaterally. It's not that he was out there practicing as a licensed PT with no one checking his work and no one overseeing what he did. He had a PT above him who has been practicing for more than a decade, has had plenty of experience, and a person that will continue to act as his mentor going down the road. We heard from Mr. Ong that there have been no issues with any of the patients that he saw, and they've been discharged by this other PT. This case is ultimately a case of really no harm, no foul. There was no harm to any of these patients. Mr. Ong did everything he could to fix the situation. He's not tried to dodge the mistake he's made by any means. And certainly this is a situation that's not going to happen again, because one would hope that moving forward, you know, the process will get better under coronavirus, or coronavirus will eventually with time go away. But one way or another, Mr. Ong's achieved his license. He has it now. And so long as he understands when that license expires and goes forward, that this isn't going to happen again. It's clear that at no point along the way did he ever try to mislead the people that he saw, or make fraudulent statements to them, or anything that he has been accused of in the complaint. Under statute, the board is able to dismiss a claim if they don't find that there's sufficient seriousness to warrant direct action. I hope the board would see that this is ultimately one of those situations. Mr. Ong has done what he's been asked to do. He has undergone great stress as a result of even having to go forward on this hearing, as it's so early in his career, and it has had a great impact on him. I think he's learned his lesson, and I would hope the board would see the same and ultimately dismiss the complaint. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, discussion, or I will be happy to entertain a motion.
This is Peggy Hunter. I think because Mr. Ong had a supervising physical therapist that was co-signing his name, her name, excuse me, and it was billed under the other physical therapist, I am making a motion to dismiss this case.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second? I'll second it. All right, discussion.
My only discussion on this is to just state that I would feel better about this motion had he passed the exam the first time. And I will be happy to go along with the motion, but it is a concern that it took him 2 tries and several months.
Any other comments? Discussion? Do board members feel like they have enough information to call the question? All right, let's do that, Karen.
So for complaint 2015, Mr. Connor Ong, PT, the motion is to dismiss. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
The motion passes. The case is dismissed.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it. And if the board will be in staff will be in contact with you if anything you might need. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good one.
Karen, do you want to stop the recording or should we just keep moving?
No, we can keep moving.
All right. Then let's go to case number 19-44, Sarah Daly, physical therapist. Sarah, you're here. And so thank you very much for sticking with us.
Hi, how are you today?
So,
fine.
So Mr. Harris, we're aware that Ms. Daly has not been able to contact her attorney to be present this morning. What would the board's options be, or Ms. Daly's options?
I think, I'm sorry, Ms. Daly, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, I think you may want to first hear from Ms. Daly to see what her preference is. And then once we hear that, perhaps we can go into further discussion with respect to your options.
Okay. Sarah, I see that you're logged in as Megan. Do you prefer Megan or Sarah?
Yes, sir. I've always gone by my middle name, which is Megan. It gets very confusing, though. I totally understand.
That's fine. I just want whatever you like to be called. So, Megan, yes, what would you like to do at this juncture?
I am totally fine with moving forward without my lawyer. The last time 2 months ago, I talked with them after the board meeting at length. So I feel very comfortable just having me, myself, and I present. Also, one of the things that I'll state down the road is that it will save me a lot of money to not have him here, which will allow me to kind of move forward with whatever we come up with.
Okay. All right. So we'll move forward. Okay. And you've sat through a few already, so I've got that formal hearing script I need to read. But let's start from the start. This is case number 19-44, Sarah Daly, physical therapist. And let's have the board members, staff, and council introduced.
Oh, I lost my connection.
Uh-oh.
There we go. Okay, Dr. Carl, I'm sorry, if you could start again.
All right, this is case number 19-44, Sarah Daly, physical therapist, and we're at introductions.
So, a professional member and president, Dr. Cornwall.
Here.
Public member, Mr. Greer.
Here.
Professional member, Dr. Bustillo.
Here.
Public member, Mr. Clinton.
Here.
Professional member, Ms. Hunter.
Present.
Assistant Attorney General, Mr. Harris.
Here.
Investigator, Ms. Richardson.
Present.
Staff member, Ms. Chepius.
Present.
Staff member, Ms. Crowley.
Present.
Staff member, Ms. Cardoza.
Present.
Dr. Cornwall.
And for the record, Sarah Megan, would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Dr. Sarah Megan Daly. I've been a practicing physical therapist for a little over 6 years now, all in Arizona, with the exception of a very brief stint in South Carolina.
All right, thank you. This interview is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. 1, issue a decree of censure. 2, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. 3, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500. 4, issue other disciplinary action. 5, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was a no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. Okay. And we need to swear in you and any other
Miss Richardson.
Miss Richardson, if the two of you would raise your right hands, please. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Miss Daly. Miss Richardson.
I do.
Okay. So Miss Richardson, would you give us a brief overview of the complaint?
Yes. Board open complaint 1944 after review of a complaint from her supervisor at the time. The supervisor alleged that Ms. Daly billed direct patient care time that exceeded the time that the patient was in the treatment center. And in reviewing the factual allegations, the board determined they included engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees for services performed or not performed, failing to maintain adequate patient records. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Daly, if you'd like, you may make an opening statement.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. First off, I want to say I have been incredibly, like, to say I've been humbled by this would be an understatement. I believe the complaint came through last November. So this has been something that has been an ongoing eye-opening learning experience for me. We've talked about it in past board meetings. I immediately recognized this as maybe needing to readdress some mental health issues that I've been dealing with at the time. And I have been taking every step possible to work through all of that. And the 3 months ago, you guys had me do a forensic psych evaluation to go through everything. And that evaluation also came back stating, confirmed basically everything, because she took a very thorough history, confirmed that I had been dealing with a major situational depression after my dad's death. That in her evaluation, which was June, July timeframe, no symptoms were present at all. I have voluntarily opted to keep doing monthly maintenance counseling sessions. I feel they're incredibly helpful and have made me a better human and a better physical therapist. In addition, I know the phone interview that I originally did with Karen went over a lot of the documentation stuff that came up when all the records were pulled. And so I talked with her at length about my clinical reasoning without having the actual documentation in front of me. I was informed, I was told at the time that, like, but the reasoning was sound, it was just missing from the documentation. I will 100% take responsibility for the fact that when I read over that documentation, like, I was even shocked at everything that I had not included, even though I know that I would have tested and cleared. So I have done a lot of work since then on mostly Google search and talking with mentors in the field on documentation practices. I am fully prepared to take a documentation course. The only reason that I haven't at this point was that psych eval at $3,000 out of pocket plus, I think I spent like 15 grand this past year opening up a business right before COVID hit. And then obviously COVID's kind of slammed me into the ground a little bit with finances. So I was waiting on building up some more funds to be able to take a course. And I just had some funds come through from teaching at continuing education this month. Finally, now that it's starting back up. So I'm prepared as early as tomorrow to dive full force into any continuing education courses that are required. Like I said, I take full responsibility. I know I was shocked when I was looking at my documentation. If it had been someone else's notes coming to me, I completely see how the clinical reasoning patterns would not have been present, and I would have had a hard time knowing exactly what to do with those patients. So I fully take responsibility, and I have worked incredibly hard since then to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
All right. Thank you very much. And can you kind of, you've done some of it already, but can you bring us up to speed and what fill in what's happened since the last time you were before the board? What's different? What's the same? It sounds like you may not be treating that many patients because of the COVID, but maybe you are. So can you kind of go?
Definitely. Yes, sir. Absolutely. So the last time I spoke with y'all was 2 months ago. Since then, I have continued doing PRN at the VA home, which is the nursing home attached to the VA hospital. So through them, I have had to take documentation courses. I'm not sure the CEU hours, it's just in their Heritage Home Health portal. I had to take a bunch of onboarding, which included documentation. I have made more of a point of pulling my boss at that clinic aside to go over my documentation and really be diligent with it and make sure that it's okay. And then on my own, I do own a salon that I opened up in January. So I do the PRN just once a day, or once a week, sorry, one day a week. I'm at the VA home. And then I have 2 other days where I am treating patients, but I have them very gapped out. An hour session. And then I have minimum of a 30-minute gap to make sure that there's no overlap, so no one's sitting in a waiting room or having to bypass someone else. So maximum the max that I've seen is I've stayed late and seen a 6th person on one occasion, but we're talking like 8 to 12 patients a week. And I feel like that has also really, really helped. I've limited that on purpose so that I can take a lot of time and go through each one of those individually and make sure that my documentation's on point. Everything's done with the full compliance. And then the hour sessions one-on-one so that I can make sure that I do feel like the steps that I've taken, even without like a traditional, like just the onboarding documentation process, I feel like I have gotten significantly better at making sure all of my clinical reasoning is down, not missing anything, being able to talk through that with the patient, a lot more patient education as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So does any board member have questions for Ms. Dalen? If there are no questions, Ms. Dalen, would you like to make a closing statement?
I guess I'll just state that I really, it sounds funny to say that I appreciate this, but it was, like I said, it was an eye-opening experience, and it allowed me to take the time to step back and really reevaluate my practice, my documentation, as well as my mental health, which I think is a huge component. And I look forward to really, I love this profession, so I really look forward to being a very compliant and forward-thinking member of the physical therapy profession in Arizona.
Thank you. All right, so discussion, or be willing to entertain a motion. Ms. Dalen, one more question, I'm sorry. Documentation stuff you've taken through the VA.
Yes, sir.
How extensive would you care? You may have a hard time answering that, but how extensive do you think that is? How many hours?
It was all in all. So there's been one, and then they had an update. So it's probably been 2.5 to 3 hours total. I'm not sure exactly. Like I said, I didn't like get a CEU or like a here's the number of hours with it. It did go over a decent amount. It was very specific to, you can mention Medicare, evals, follow-ups, re-evals, all of that. So it did go through that pretty diligently.
Okay. Since it's part of the VA system, you know, it probably was not specific to Arizona or any other specific jurisdiction, was it?
As far as I'm aware, no. It was just across the board. Okay. Documentation, correct.
Do you feel like what you had through the VA, how has it changed the way you document in other settings?
You mean from there to the out of work practice?
Yeah, or you know, how has it changed the way you document?
That and the for lack of a better way to say, the Google research that I had done previously on documentation after the holes in my documentation had been made very clear to me. It has 100% changed how I document. I feel like when I looked back at mine, I had kind of gotten sloppy on things that I had cleared, not stating that I had cleared them and that I had actually done the test. So I've been much more diligent on making sure that everything is down, not just the like end result that I find, if that makes sense. And then also talking with mentors. So this actually was not in the VA system because I don't do dry needling in that setting. But I talked with multiple mentors and some Google research on, I'm a lot more clear now on exactly how to document dry needling. It's much more thorough, versus previously. And again, that's not at the VA. That's just in my out of network practice that I'm doing that. But, I would say my documentation is significantly more thorough. I look at every single piece of it as if I were someone new walking in, would I know what the heck was going on and have any questions? And I want to make sure that I know exactly what's going on and that the person would not have any questions on the clinical reasoning or what was being done.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I backtracked a little bit.
No, that's fine.
Does anyone else have any questions?
I do.
This is Peggy Hunter. Ms. Daly, I'm still a little concerned. I'd like to know, prior, you didn't recognize the signs that possibly you were unfit for working as a physical therapist. I'd like to know how that has changed.
100%. So that's actually the main reason why I am going to continue to see a counselor. It's also hindsight's 2020. I didn't necessarily recognize it then, but I talked with, there was actually one of my coworkers at that job. I had her send in a statement to the forensic psychologist. And then she also talked with me, and I can't remember, I think this might've just been directly to me, but she was like, look, when you're on and you're healthy, like, you're phenomenal. There were points, like, there were days that were bad days then where, yeah, you got a little sloppy. So that's part of why I'm making sure on a daily basis that I am going back and looking through everything so I can see when I start slipping, as well as I am having monthly counseling sessions, and that psychologist is very aware of all of this and is very diligent. She knows to let me know as soon as any symptoms start to come back up, as well as I now am more aware of all of these symptoms. So I can start to realize, like, if I am starting to get more irritable, or if I'm starting to have nightmares again, or if I'm starting to forget little things, like all the signs of the depression that I was dealing with, I'm much, much more aware of them in, like, looking back and kind of almost like what's the word I'm looking for? Hindsight's the ones that come to mind. I know there's a research term for it where you look back and see what the common factors are. And so now I know to look for those moving forward.
Okay, thank you.
Question?
I have, this is Karen Bustillo. I do have one additional question related to your documentation. Can you talk a little bit more about the billing issues and how you feel like your documentation and billing are now more aligned?
Yes, so the billing issues from that time, I talked with this extensively with the forensic psychologist as well, and feel like a lot of that was not doing great at keeping track of my times. And then when I would go to document, not being very clear on what my time in and time out was. And so it just kind of, it got very messy. So I would never intentionally overbill. I can recognize in hindsight how I would have made some mistakes. And so I have a clipboard that I carry around now, and I actually have every patient written what I plan to do with them for day. And then like little things written out that's time in and time out. And I'm very, very diligent on putting those down so that I know exactly what my times are.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Anybody else? Anybody want to make a motion? I move that we offer her a non-disciplinary order of continuing education to include documentation specific to Arizona, which would include supervision, et cetera, and also billing, maximum of 6 hours.
Are those two separate courses, 6 hours for documentation and supervision and 6 hours for billing?
No, 6 hours total, because I think that there's gonna be overlap between what she's already done with the VA. So if she finds something, well, let me modify that, a minimum of 4 hours. Okay, in case you of total. So if she finds one that she can't find a four, but she finds a five or six, that's fine.
So there will be no course that will do documentation, supervision, and billing. So it's just whatever combo she comes up with.
Oh, I thought that there was, they always touched on billing.
No? Potentially. I mean, I'm just, it's up to Ms. Daly to find that course and submit it for approval.
Would it be easier for her to find a 3 hour documentation, 3 hour billing?
Probably.
Then let's do that.
Second.
Online?
Online's fine.
And how long to complete?
Let's give her a year. in case she has trouble finding something.
Okay.
And we have a second from Mr. Gio. So any discussion?
I think a documentation course, billing and supervision courses are good. I think this should be discipline because just in the investigative report, Ms. Daly was given a lot of opportunity by her supervisors to correct, and she did not do it. And that puts patient care in jeopardy. I know that she's done a lot of things since then, but I don't think we should overlook these things in the investigative report.
I agree. I don't feel like I'm overlooking them. I think I'm looking at it going, she was in the midst of depression and didn't see them clearly. And now she can. The psychology report says she is not a risk to herself or her patients. And I think I'd like to move forward.
I agree, but at the time, in essence, she was unfit to work as a physical therapist, despite people stating things to her. So that's why I think it should be discipline.
I hear you. Thank you. Any other comments, discussion? All right, then I will call the question.
It's been for complaint 1944, Ms. Megan Daly, PT. The motion for you is for a non-disciplinary order to include 3 hours of documentation and supervision, 3 hours of billing. The courses can be performed online with 1 year to complete. Dr. Cornwall.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
No.
The motion passes.
All right. Megan, thank you very much for being patient and sticking with us. All right. And if you have questions, staff will be happy to help you.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Karen, do you need to stop the recording?
Yes, please.
Okay.